What in the world are we supposed to do when things don't happen the way we expect? Because it could be God's guidance in our lives, taking us to a different place or a different experience. It could be sometimes life changes unexpectedly. And I know that there's a lot of us in the congregation today that are living through things that we just didn't really plan on. We don't expect it. Maybe in the distant future, but it's happening right now. What do we do? How are we supposed to take that and react when things happen the way we don't expect? Everything's going fine, and then, bam, something happens. In my life, God took me to a prophecy in the Old Testament about this predicament. Jeremiah 18 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house.'" Now, here's a side note. Interesting thing about this word potter. Potter means shaper. In the old Hebrew, it's a shaper. And it's the same exact word used in Genesis 2:7. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." Isn't that cool? Same exact word used here when he's talking about a potter. So anyway, Jeremiah 18:3, he says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make." So let's get these things straight. Three things. The potter was making something. The clay was ruined, and it could be that there was a lump in it that didn't get worked out, and it was hard and stiff and not wet enough. It could be that there was a foreign material in it, some pollution, and he had to take that out. Or maybe something happened with the table and it got crooked, so you got to start all over. So the potter was making something, the clay got ruined, and then he made it another vessel. He made that piece of clay another vessel. He did not throw that clay away. He made it another vessel. God said then in verse 6, "Can I not, O house of Bethel, O house of Jeff, O house of John and Jessica, can I not deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Bethel." So I got this picture of life's going around, as the world turns, and I've given my life to God, everything's going great, and I'm being molded by God. God's making me a coffee mug, right? You can tell it, look, I'm being a coffee mug, God's molding me, it's all wonderful, look, I'm going to be a coffee mug, everybody. And then the wheel stops. And then I feel God's wet hands come down and begin to press and mold. And it's uncomfortable at first. I'm glad he's doing it, but then again, it's uncomfortable, right? Going through some changes in your life, and God's growing you, and he's going to grow you through this area, this time, but it's uncomfortable. God's wet hand comes down and begins to mold you and change you. And then the wheel starts up again. And I'm like, okay, finally. But pretty soon I'm like, wait a second, Lord, this is the weirdest shaped coffee mug that I've ever seen. This doesn't look like a coffee mug at all. I don't even feel like a coffee mug anymore. Everybody knows about my coffee mugness. That's what I've always done, right? This is the weirdest coffee mug. I'm not even resembling a coffee mug anymore. What's going on? It looks like I'm becoming more like a teapot. Short and stout. When I get all heated up, hear me shout. But I've always been a coffee mug, and God's now turning me into this teapot. What's going on? I think that probably happened with David, because David was a shepherd, a really good one. And then he was anointed to be king. He didn't get to be king. He was just anointed. And then he became this great warrior. So he's a shepherd, he's a warrior, and then he became a king. Paul was the same way. Paul, you know, was a tent maker. And he was also well known in the hierarchy of the Pharisees. God turned him into an evangelist. Gideon was that way too. Gideon turned out to be one of the greatest battle generals in the Bible, in my opinion. And he first was just farming, doing farm stuff. Think about the disciples. Some of them used to be fishermen, and God changed them. We have to be comfortable, I believe, with God shaping us into the vessel that he needs for us to be. It's easy to say, but sometimes we got to think about that. Even when things don't turn out like we initially expected, it may actually be by design. Our response to God, to God's will, is like being pliable clay. Able to be shaped. Make me whatever you need to make me, Lord. Pray that with an honest heart. Even if it's something that I don't expect. Maybe God changes you. Maybe God molds you into something. Or maybe God enhances what you're already doing or being. Now, here's something else that God began to show me about this particular lesson in Jeremiah. Has anyone ever turned clay before? Yeah. Good. All right. Very good. One of the things that you need to turn clay is pliable clay. It's got to be soft. The thing that you put on clay to make it soft is water. You dip your hands in the water. You put it on the clay. I've tried it a few times. It's not my calling, but I've tried it a few times. Put your hands in the water, you get water, and you smear that water on that clay. Makes it pliable, and you can work with it. Without the water, the clay becomes dry, unmanageable, lumpy, and if you let it sit long enough, it can even just crack and break. It's just unpure that way. But for that clay to be shaped and pliable, you got to spread that water on it. You got to get water on there and spread it out. The clay, being shaped by the shaper, uses water smeared on it or rubbed on it to keep it pliable, workable. But God began to show me about this idea of this clay being spread with water. And he said, he took me about to, in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, there's a word that is used that means to smear or to spread, and that's anointing. And he said, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit constantly to stay pliable, to stay soft. In the Old Testament, that word is mashak, to rub with oil or to spread or to paint on. Like this, Leviticus 8:12. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. I'm gonna do something different with you now. There was an anointing to change, to set apart. Amen? Moses was anointed. The priests were all anointed. Elijah was anointed. And then in the New Testament, it's krio or chrisma, and that is to smear or an act of smearing. We are anointed. Here's the good news. You and I are anointed because we have the Spirit within us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. 1 John is a letter in general to believers. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. 2:27, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Even in the New Testament, there's an anointing to change, to teach, to set apart. The anointing of the Holy Spirit makes us pliable. We have access to that all the time. Sometimes we have to allow God to make us pliable. Sometimes we have to allow the Holy Spirit to make us shapeable. I spoke not too long ago about Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word delight comes from a Hebrew word, anag, which literally means to make pliable. In other words, this verse says, make yourself pliable in the hands of God, and he will give you the desires in your heart. To maintain our pliability so that God can mold us, and work with us, turn us into what he needs for us to be, we need a continuous anointing of God's Spirit. And thankfully, according to Paul and to the Bible, you are anointed. I believe that what that means is that we allow the Holy Spirit to change our shape, to influence our thoughts. We don't allow the world to influence our thoughts. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to influence our thoughts. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us about loving people that are unlovable. We're going to use the Holy Spirit to show us the beam that's in our own eye before griping about a speck in someone else's eye. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit that only he can produce. The fruits of the Spirit, you cannot produce that on your own. They are produced by the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, and on and on. That's being anointed, allowing those fruits to show forth. The Holy Spirit teaches us God's will, his kingdom. And things may not always turn out like we expect. However, when that happens, I think of a couple of things. I think of Paul. When he went through, he had that thorn in the flesh. Regardless of what the thorn is, he prayed at least three times, Lord, take this thorn from me. Thorn in his side. God said, my grace is sufficient. And later on, when he began to figure out that he was actually made stronger through God because of the weakness that he thought that he had, he was like, oh, I should brag about this. Didn't turn out like I expected, but I'm going to be better because of it. I'm also reminded of Romans 8:28, when God said that he causes all things to work together for the good to those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. He didn't cause all things, but he's causing all things to work together for good. Even my bad decisions, Lord? God said, yes, That's more of a challenge, but yes. No, it's not a challenge for God. Things don't always work out like we expect because of life or because of us being obedient and pliable to God. But we know that He's going to work out things to our advantage. Be pliable and willing to be transformed daily into what God needs you to be. And I want you to get this too, my last big statement right here. Until you leave this earth, until you leave your physical body, your pottery wheel is turning. Amen? Did you get that? Your pottery wheel is always turning until you're done with this life. Let God always perfect you, move you around, and shape you. Amen? When things turn out differently than you anticipated, let God use that to mold you accordingly, and you will turn into the best you that you can be. Amen? Okay.